B-Pod Studios.
Let's do something crazy.
Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Take it down to the fourth member of our crew, Charles Clinton. Charles?
Billy Sauer has never lost a playoff game at Yost Ice Arena in his career. And he's hoping that he'll have a chance to win the CCHA playoffs this year. Back to you, guys.
Well, Sauer may very well be the catalyst for this Wolverine team. Let's send it back down to Charlie.
Okay, guys, one of the reasons why University of Nebraska is having a hard time scoring is because one of their leading scorers is out. Back to you, guys.
Well, thanks, Charlie. Let's take it back down to Charlie Clinton. Charlie?
Guys, we got a debut today. Eric Elmblad. He's a sophomore defenseman, and he made a nice hip check earlier and got called for a penalty for it. Back to you, guys.
Let's send it back down to Charlie Clinton. Charlie?
Guys, Chad Kolarik is two-thirds of the way to a hat trick. It's the only hat trick of his possibly Hobie season. Back to you, guys.
Johnny, it's Rod, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. John, give me the thing about the second DUI again.
John Jones, current UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, had entered a plea agreement with New Mexico prosecutors. He pled guilty to a second charge of DWI. He's been arrested for this before. And instead of jail time, he gets 4 days of a modified house arrest, a $500 fine.
We're all under house arrest.
Community service.
What a time to get house yeah. arrest.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine? Oh, like I can't go on a walk?
Yep.
Oh, wow. What a terrible time. Ugh. And then what else does he get?
He has to pay a $500 fine, 48 hours of community service, and attend a 90-day outpatient treatment program.
Yeah, the only thing that sucks is the 90-day outpatient program. I mean, talk about a good deal. My Lord.
Yeah, apparently, that's Chandler Jones's brother,
yes,
right?
Yes, it
right.
is. Apparently, it's a county, the house arrest, 96 consecutive hours in a country community custody program, similar to house arrest. It's called CCP.
Well listen, God bless his lawyer, because that seems incredibly light.
Oh, there's supervised probation.
That's his second offense, too?
Yes, yes.
Plus, he's been arrested for different stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a pretty long rap sheet.
His first DWI was in New York and not New Mexico, so I don't know if that factors in. But, apparently he's on supervised probation for a year. An interlock ignition will be placed on any vehicle he operates now.
Meaning is that the one where you got to breathe in the thing before you can start it?
Yes, your blood alcohol level is tested every time you start the car.
Ooh. Have you ever been in a car with someone who has that before?
No.
I've never seen one in the wilderness. I've never seen one in real life.
I've never gotten in a DUI.
I haven't either. But can you imagine... Either. Well, I mean, I've left my car in weird places before. Like, I mean, I've thank goodness I've never been towed. I haven't gotten ticketed before, but I mean, there's been times where, you know, I planned on not drinking, and then I'll have a few drinks, and I'll take a cab home, and I'll be crossing my fingers that my stupid thing doesn't have a boot on it or got towed.
Did I tell you there was a kid in my fraternity who lost his car?
Oh, that happens a lot. Like you went drinking and you couldn't find your car.
No, he like was driving around and parked it somewhere and didn't remember where it was.
Oh, he was drunk when he was driving it.
Yeah, and then he didn't remember where he put it. Ooh. And he never found it.
Oh, man.
I mean, he went on to fight and be a general. He was like some high position in the Gulf War. So he went on to do all these great things. But yeah, he got drunk one night and literally lost his car and never found it.
Man. Oh, my God.
That's got to be a good feeling.
Oh, that's not good.
That's got to be, like, because I don't know if you can call the cops and go, like, hey, I seem to have lost my car. Because if you report it stolen.
Yeah.
then you're in trouble.
Now, there was one time where I got my car towed just because, you know, I was with a group of people and we ended up staying out later. I was in this lot, which apparently the lot closed at like midnight. And so we got there around 12:30 and my car was gone. So I had to go to this place, take a cab to this place way outside of town. And it was one of those places that was cash only. And I think it ended up being $450 to get – no, it wasn't $400. I'm sorry. It was $250 to get your car out. And you had to pay cash. So there's an ATM machine there. And the max you could take out was $100. And every time you did a withdrawal, there was a $20 fee. Oh, so I had to pay $60 extra just to get out enough cash to get my car back from the impound lot.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah, I've never seen, and I've been to some shady places before. I've never seen a $20 fee at an ATM before. But at this place, they had it.
No, but you have seen male prostitution, and
plenty of that. That I used to, as I said, I used to live in a place where right across the street, that's where the guys would go with the crackheads, and they'd get out of the car, and you would just see them go to work.
Well, the best thing about that is that if you pulled into the, because I was around the same area, is when you pulled into the Taco Bell. First of all, I had two people fighting at the Taco Bell drive-in, and they spilled onto the hood of my car while they were fighting. But you could, it was the worst drug dealing, like so obvious, like someone would throw something in the bushes. And then another guy would come by and throw something in the bushes and then walk over and picked up what the first guy threw in the bushes.
Oh, sure.
And if you're a cop, you're thinking, wow, I wonder, this is cut and dry. These guys are just throwing things in the bushes.
Well, that's the corner where I stumbled upon the kidnapping. It was right there. So, I mean, that's the same street corner. And that was, I mean, that was prostitute corner. And that was the same place where a friend of mine back in the day when people used to keep, you know, books full of CDs in their car, someone had broken into his car like a week earlier and stolen his giant book of CDs, which, by the way, that pisses you off because it was like 100 CDs, which, you know, people will never understand how much it cost to buy a CD back in the day. 100 CDs is a lot of money worth of music. And when he
it's
went
like
to
$1,000.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Expensive. At one point, CDs used to be $17. Do you remember that? Like $17 for an album.
I remember when I first got a CD, I got Van Halen 1 and GBH. And then it came in the big, long box.
The big, wasteful box that they used to crank those things in.
Well, they put them in those boxes so people would be like, ooh, this is the future.
And then you open up the tiny little thing.
That's how old I am, is that I remember CD Warehouse. I remember exactly where I was when I bought my first two CDs. And it cost me $400,000.
But, I mean, that's the gas station where my friend went to go pump his gas, and this guy came up to him, and he had a CD book, and he goes, you look like you like white boy music. I got a book full of CDs I'll sell you. And it was his CD book that had been stolen a week earlier. He tried to sell it back to him.
I had a work bag when I worked at 99X, and some guy stole it out of my car. And then, obviously, there was nothing of value in it. So my materials were just scattered around this part of the city. And a guy that my wife used to date found all the stuff. And so that was a very nice thing that's going on. All right, very quickly.
Somebody said there was a strip club in Vegas they went to that had a $45 ATM fee.
Oh, I think that when we went to the strip club for my bachelor party, it was like that.
I've never seen a $20 ATM fee until I got my car. And they made it specifically so you would have to take three transactions out because it was $100 at a time. And to get $250, you had to do it three times. And at that point, I was crossing my fingers that I actually had enough money in my account to get it out. So I was like, oh, geez, there might be a chance. I don't have it. And, you know, and by the way, that feeling doesn't leave you. Even when you get a real job, it takes like 10 years to get that cross your fingers, am I going to have enough money to get a withdrawal out of this ATM feeling away from you. It took me a lot. I think it was in my 30s, like mid-30s, when I finally got that feeling away, knowing full well that there would have been money in there. But yeah, you just always get this, oh, please, please work. Oh, yes.
Well, see, I got two credit cards my first day of college and just said, let's have fun.
Oh, really?
So oh, yeah. The first thing I did when I got a real job was pay him off. But, yeah, I mean, I would probably $10,000 in credit card debt.
Oh, wow. They gave you $10,000 limit? My first credit card, they gave me like a grand. That was it.
It was $5,000 a card.
Oh. Ooh.
And I got two cards. And, you know, the interest rate on those is just fantastic. All right.
Right. You get like $1,000 balance and it ends up costing you like $6,000 to pay it off.
Oh, yeah. It's like a 25% APR. All right. We will be right back. We're going to have Jeff Goodman on. We can discuss what's going on with the old NBA and what have you. We will do that for you in just a moment. And when I say just a moment, I'm literally talking about a matter of very little minutes. So enjoy almost commercial-free radio right now.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Touch your...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, too much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The league has any number of contingencies they're trying to work with based on how much time, if any, they have to resume the season. And I think it's increasingly unlikely that the league could make up all of its regular season games. But their hope is that they would have at least several regular season games before starting the playoffs. And then you may have a playoffs that are truncated. You may have shorter series, perhaps in the first round.
.985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Goodman covers the NBA for Stadium. And he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Goodman, thank you so much for the time.
All good, guys. How you doing? You guys staying safe and social distancing well?
Yeah. I mean, I got a posse, so I mean, I can't break away from them. I got my boys. You know what I'm saying? So, but other than that, we're keeping it real.
Jeff, right, is 10 episodes of a Michael Jordan documentary too many episodes?
It might be. I mean, listen, I'm as big of an MJ fan, and I grew up in that era, but 10, man, we can't condense this thing to like 5 or 6. I mean, I don't know, the Tiger King even, right? Wasn't that 7? So
yeah.
Get it to 7?
And even that felt a little like, right, even that felt a little long.
Exactly.
And I don't know, Jeff, if because I saw conflicting stories yesterday. At first, I thought it was, okay, 10 episodes for this Jordan thing they're going to release, which meant 10 hours. But I'm hearing conflicting stories that each episode is 2 hours each, and it's 20 hours. What have you heard? Is it 10 or is it 20? Either way, they're both too long. But 20 is just, like, gratuitous.
I'm not ready for 20. I'm not ready. I mean, honestly, like, I'm bored. I'm bored as hell. But I watch Ozark twice before I watch 20 hours of that thing.
Right.
Jeff, what is your feelings on the possibility of an NBA season in reality from the people that you talk to?
I mean, obviously we don't know, but the way this thing is headed, it looks less and less likely. You know, the more you look at the numbers and the more you look at kind of even in Massachusetts, just look here and the way this thing is headed. I mean, people are talking now about that the college football season might not take place at all. You know, college basketball season, which is really the sport I cover most, may not take place next year. That doesn't start till November because kids may not be able to think about it. Kids, how do you do that? How do you put them, you know, if kids aren't allowed to come back on campus in September, how are you going to put, even if you don't have fans in the stands, you've still got referees, you've still got scorekeepers, you've still got obviously coaches. They go other places. So I think so much is up in the air right now. We don't know is the simple answer.
What is ultimately, have you heard what the final date that they would be able to start the season would be? Like, at what date do they go, well, I guess we're just not going to finish the season, and that's the way it ends?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Adam Silver knows that one. We don't know what the drop dead, you know, date is for the season at all at this point. And again, I think everybody would love to, you know, to get these games in and play some version of the playoffs. You know, I talked to Jason Tatum about it the other day, and I asked him, I said, how long would it take you? You know, because there's varying degrees, and we joked a little bit about it, but I said, you know, some players think about it. Some players need less time than others because, frankly, some guys, LeBron has a gym in his house.
Yeah.
So he can work out every day, where Tatum told me, I haven't dribbled a basketball, I haven't shot a free throw in weeks. It would probably take him, he felt like, a couple weeks for the team to practice and be able to, you know, pull off getting back on the court at a decently high level.
Well, so Jeff, there was a really interesting thing that the Big Three has discussed doing, and I believe they're moving ahead with it. And that is that Ice Cube has teamed up with the people from Big Brother, and their whole plan was that they are building this house/basketball complex in L.A. where they're going to get 16 players to live in this house with the officials for 3 weeks. There's going to be a tournament where the winner ultimately wins, they said, seven figures. But each person obviously is tested before they get into this house. It's almost like a bubble that they're going to – a coronavirus-free bubble that they're going to be able to play basketball in. Do you see anything like that happening? I know there was a talk of a one-off game for the NBA that they could do amongst players who have tested negative. Do you see any possibility of that happening, and what are you hearing about that?
I mean, listen, the Big Three can do whatever they want. They just need 16 people and other people that are going to, I guess, officiate it, call the games, whatever, buy into it. I just know, again, you could be tested today, but then come down with it in 5 days. So just because you're tested, those 16 players are tested today, doesn't mean they aren't going to get it in or show symptoms of it in 4 or 5 days. So, again, I just think it's stupid right now. It's stupid to even think about something like that right now.
Yeah.
When you've got the death toll rising like it is all over the country, especially in the Northeast here, you know, in New York and Massachusetts and Connecticut. In New Jersey, like what are we thinking of here? We can't deal.
We need
without...
anything, Jeff. Jeff, we need it. I know that sounds crazy, but it's like the distraction.
Not at that risk. Not at that risk. We don't need it. We don't need it.
Well, I agree, because
we all need it.
Right, but I mean, once again, you're right. You raise a pretty good point. How much of a disaster would it be if they end up doing this thing? And like, you know, because it's like Big Brother, it's you have live check-ins, and it would be like a live 3 weeks of things. How would
you
disaster?
Wait. Are you telling me you're going to be excited to watch 42-year-old Jermaine O'Neal play against?
Paul Pierce said he wanted to do it. Paul Pierce said he wanted in.
If Pierce is involved, that's a game changer. But if it's not, if he's not involved, will you watch?
Oh my God, I have zero desire to watch 40-year-old Paul Pierce play basketball.
And I differ on that.
Come on,
I would love to see Paul Pierce again.
I'd rather go watch the 2 15-year-olds down in Newburyport that were playing when I took my dog for a walk the other day at the playground.
Jeez. They shouldn't be doing that. They are not self-doing.
Shame on you, Jeff.
Give them a break.
All right. Hold on. Now, Jeff.
Hang on, real quick.
Yeah.
You make a good point, though, Jeff, because this is something I didn't quite think through. So let's say they do this thing live, and you've got the three-week live bubble, and everyone is tested negative, quote-unquote, for coronavirus, and, like, they're doing daily check-ins. Once again, this is a live show because it's just like Big Brother. And what if, like, a week into it, someone ends up getting the coronavirus?
And dies.
And then they end up fighting.
All 16 people are wiped out.
Would you watch it then, Goodman? Would you watch it then, Goodman? If someone died, it'd be like Evel Knievel.
No comment. I don't want to get fired from my job. Whatever the answer is, I'm pleading the fifth on that one. But all I'll say is I've not watched the Big Three for 1 minute. I would not watch the Big Three if it were cleared to play. I'd rather honestly watch 40 hours of a Michael Jordan documentary than have to watch.
That's the thing. My point about this stuff is that, like, people go, like, I need something. It's like, we're in an era where there's...
I got
that's what I'm saying.
Right,
is that there's literally,
like it would take you like 5 years to even scratch the surface of how much entertainment is out there right now. So, I mean, what do you need?
Breaking Bad again. I mean, whatever. We got options. Like, Tatum said, listen, I give him credit. He's 21, 22 years old. He did put it best when I talked to him the other day. He said, listen, we have TV, we have food, we have Wi-Fi. What else do we really need?
Is Tatum bummed? Because you talked to him, and he was in the middle of what was, you know, basically his coming out season. The guy's been a stud and, you know, made it to the All-Star game. Like, how is he feeling about him being able to end this thing with a bang and all of a sudden it's just done with?
Well, I think that's the hardest part, right? He finally was hitting the stride. He wasn't great, and we talked about it in November and December. Actually, I thought the most interesting things he said in the podcast by far were the fact that he was completely consumed with making the All-Star team prior to making the game, right? In November, December, he wasn't the same player. He said every game, you know, for good, he would call, you know, have a big game. He'd call somebody and say, yeah, I think I got a shot. And then when he went 1-for-18 or whatever it was against Dallas, I remember talking to him after the game, and he was so down. And he said it was because he really felt like his chances of making the All-Star game were gone. And then when he made it, it was like the weight of the world had been lifted off his shoulders. He played free, and we saw the other Tatum, which was, to me, not just All-Star Tatum, but like top five player in the league, Jason Tatum, in February. And that was gone. That was it. I mean,
upset that people have twisted that into being a negative, like about how he was obsessed with it? Because to me, it showed that
he's
this dude
real.
Was yeah, well, not only real, but it was also, why would anyone have a problem with a guy being obsessed with trying to be great?
I would want to do that. Everyone would want the same thing. Everyone wants to be an All-Star. Everyone wants personal accolades. They do. If they tell you they don't, they're lying. I mean, they want to win championships, but at the same time, you want to be recognized.
And it wasn't to the detriment of the team. That's the only time I would have a problem if it was like a ball hog.
Right. Yeah, if it was someone taking half-court shots, if it was like Ball's kid that's coming out. But the thing, I mean, we'd all be lying. You want to be recognized for excellence in your profession. I mean, you do, and no matter 100%. What you do.
Yep. Yeah. And he was honest about it. He said, listen, it's about winning, too. But yeah, like, these are the things you dream about as a kid, right? You want to play an All-Star game. You want to play an NBA Finals. You want to win an MVP. There's nothing wrong with saying those things because all those things contribute to you taking your game at a level where you're considered one of the best in the world. And I think Tatum was able to do that. But again, you know, to me, it's trying to prioritize what's most important. And I thought he also mentioned that it aligned, February really aligned with him, with making the All-Star game and then Kobe passing away and him kind of channeling his inner Mamba, if you will, of taking a different approach to it. Of you could see it out there, the confidence, the swagger, all of that. I just thought, you know, again, it was pretty candid for a 21-year-old to come out and say something that he's not supposed to say, which is, yeah, the All-Star game probably screwed me up.
All right.
Well, there you go.
There it is. Real quick, you talked about Lonzo Ball's kid, the last one who's coming out, who played, I guess, a dozen games in Australia. Two questions, Jeff, real quick. When is the NBA draft going to occur? Because the NFL is going on time. And where does LaMelo Ball wind up? Where is he going to be taken?
The draft obviously can't occur until at least August or September at this point. I think you're going to have to push it back, if you're lucky, to those months. And I think LaMelo, and I've said this for years, super immature, but super extremely talented, has the same court vision as Lonzo, but doesn't have the same IQ in terms of playing the game the right way. Everything is kind of Rondo-ish in terms of how he passes it, and it's dribble, 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 and it's got to be a behind-the-back pass rather than making the simple pass. I think he goes somewhere in the top three. Oh. I don't think he goes one, but I think he probably goes – my money's probably on like three.
Oh, we're stuck with LeVar again. Unbelievable.
Where does Cassius Winston go?
At least I'm not stuck with LeVar. So we're sure. Good there.
Good for you.
Where does Cassius Winston go?
Probably doesn't get picked. Probably has to fight to make an NBA roster, which is sad. But a lot of these guys, the seniors that stick around for 4 years, that's generally what happens, whether it's him or Miles Powell from Seton Hall or Marcus Howard from Marquette.
See, that's the thing, is that Draymond Green was punished for that too, but I don't know. Look at how that worked out. All right, Jeff.
That's a rarity. That's a rarity, guys.
I knew he was going to be good. I'll say it again. I've never seen – he's one of the best college players I've seen. All right, yep. Jeff Goodman, thank you so much for the time, sir.
You got it, guys. Be safe.
All right, appreciate it. I talked to Stephanie had a virtual happy hour yesterday, I guess. Wow. And one of the women wanted to talk to me who knows Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm.
And what did she say about him?
I can't tell you.
Well, then why mention it?
Why'd you bring it up?
To seem cool.
Because you knew somebody who knew Jason Tatum?
No, they told me things.
I got a great story, but I'm not telling.
Because she said I was sworn to secrecy. I'm not lying to you.
Do we need the breaking news, Sounder?
No, it's
well, I know somebody who knows Tom Brady who did something really bad that I can't tell you.
I didn't say he did anything bad. I can tell you off the air.
Okay.
But I just wanted you to know that I'm always working. I'm always working with contacts. Oh. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with nothing usable for the air.
Doesn't matter. What do you want me to do? I think it's interesting. I talked to a woman who knows Jason Tatum, and then you said, what'd she say? And I said, I can't say. I think it's interesting, though, based on that, I'll go screw. If I told you that I talked to someone who knows the guy that we just were talking about, and it just happened last night, that's a bit of symmetry. And so there you go. I can't. It has nothing to do with basketball, is what I'll say. Nothing to do with basketball.
Okay.
It's bad tattoo choices, anything to do with that? Because he's made plenty of
no,
them.
No, I know that. I did learn one thing. I learned that at the collegiate level, basketball players are – what are you laughing at?
Somebody just on Twitter said, nice Nick story, Fred.
Oh, shut up.
If I had said something like that, you two would have crucified me.
Pretty much, yeah.
Jesus.
Why would I have crucified you?
You would have made fun of me for at least a week. You had a great story. Nice job, Wallach. Way to contribute.
All I did was I offhandedly mentioned. I didn't bring it up and go, hey, guys, guess what? This was after we talked about Jason Tatum. We talked about Jason Tatum 10 seconds ago.
Right.
But apparently, apparently the basketball players collegiately are often involved with the female volleyball players because they share common the common spaces. Did you know that?
Okay. So he hooked up with a volleyball player?
I don't know if it was a volleyball player.
St. John Smith. Once again, Karch Karai.
Karch Karai was the man in the 84 Olympics. Karch Karai.
The early ESPN was the best. You would turn it on, it was like, oh, we got another St. John Smith Karch Karai beach volleyball tournament.
I have some information on Karch Karai.
But you can't tell us.
But I can't tell you.
I understand.
All right.
Karch Karai's been hanging out cruising for chicks with Per Wielander.
Oh, Pearl Wielander, that's
the freestyle skateboarder. Aren't they both from the same country? I think they're both like Swedish.
Oh, man, you're going deep. Who's the guy who works at Birdhouse now? We're really going off topic.
Mike McGill?
No. Birdhouse, he's the freestyle skater. Oh, my God.
There were two. It was Per Wielander. There's one other guy.
Mullen.
Not Rodney Mullen.
Rodney Mullen. Rodney Mullen.
Yeah.
Rodney Mullen was the best.
I got to know you're getting a Per Wielander reference this morning, did you?
No, I didn't expect that. I mean, listen, he's not riding for Redline. All right, I'll tell you this: is that I have a story about a Per Wielander that I'll get to. I'll tell you off the air. All right, you guys are the worst. That made total sense. Made total sense. I just saw a mock draft, by the way, that we'll talk about. That is. Very interesting. I don't know if it's they believe what they're saying, but it's very interesting nonetheless. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Boston. This is Jason Tatum from the Celtics. You know, right now we're going through a really, really difficult time. First and foremost, I'd like to say thank you to all the medical staff in Boston, you know, volunteers, food workers, and everybody on the front lines that's giving up their well-being to help others that are in truly, truly need to help us get through these tough times and, you know, help us to get back to doing things that we love. You know, I think we should continue to follow the lead of Mayor Walsh and continue practicing social distancing and staying home as much as we possibly can. You know, this can pass over and, you know, we can get through this together. You know, we can get back to doing things we love and being around our loved ones. So continue to just everybody do their part. Stay safe, stay at home, continue to pray for our health and those in need. You know, all season you guys rooted for myself and the team, and you know, I'm rooting for you guys. So again, thank you to everybody that's putting their selves and helping others that are in need. So to Boston, you know, we can do this.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And there is a mock draft that's out. And I know it's old news, but Chris Siciliano, when he has earbuds in, is very interesting to look at. Because he's got them big ears. But this mock draft has Chase Young going first to the Bengals. And then it has Chase Young going first to the Bengals. It has Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle, going second to Washington. It has, let's see here, as this moves very slowly. It has the cornerback from Ohio State going third to the Lions.
Okuda, right?
Okuda, yeah. Jeff Okuda going third to the Lions. Tristan, some offensive tackle from Iowa, going fourth to the Giants. And then it has Burrow going fifth to Miami.
Oh, I mean, first of all, that's not going to happen. Second of all, I do know that Miami apparently is considering trying to do everything they can to move up to get Burrow.
Considering it. We've had Armando Salguero on this program before. You know, he sits in the room with Peter King. He's a Hall of Fame voter, and he's been following the Dolphins for 20 years. He wrote early last month and then again last night that Miami desperately wants that number one pick. And I think they have 3 firsts and 2 seconds this year after all the trades and all the unloading they did to try and tank, which didn't work. So apparently Miami's going to keep trying to make the big move to jump up and take Burrow. And short of that, they may trade up to number two to take Tua there. That's the thing. I mean, they're the wild card.
You trade up to three. You don't have to trade up to two to get to. You trade up to three with the Lions.
Well, the problem is there are other teams behind Miami that might be interested in trading up to get Tua. And if that's the case, you have to make damn sure you get in a position where you can get him.
I think you can get him with the third pick.
It's possible. It's certainly possible. But in that circumstance, a guy like Young would drop to three or four.
If you're in a position like the Redskins are in second, right? They get the second pick.
The Giants have the second pick, right?
Or the Giants? Okay. Well, if you're the Giants, then I mean, don't you, especially the Giants in the situation that they're in, you absolutely take 3 first-round picks in order to make that trade if that's what they're willing to offer. There's no question you make that trade. I mean, you already got the quarterback of the future, and that would bring you down to 5th pick. Is that right? The 5th would be your
3 first pick?
3 first-round pick.
Now the value chart on that is.
Well, that's what John said.
No, I think they have three. I think they have three first-round picks,
but the value there's no way that they're going to use 3 first-round picks to move up.
You're right. It's the Redskins too, Rich. My mistake.
Okay.
Yeah, the Redskins have the pick. And there's no way that someone's going to give up three first-rounders to move up to the second pick in the draft.
Dude, stupid teams do stupid things.
I don't know. They have a value chart. And, I mean...
How much did the Bears give up to take Trubisky?
Yeah, and look at how that turned out.
I know.
They didn't give up three first-round picks.
I think they gave up two and a couple of other things.
Yeah, well, they didn't give up three first-round picks.
No, they didn't. That's true.
And, look at how that worked out. And Tua, a guy that you don't have medicals on.
No, you stay the hell away from him. You do. I understand franchise quarterbacks are important, and you need one to succeed in this league. But if you can't work this kid out, if you can't see if that hip's fully healed and he had the ankle problems, and that hip injury was major, and you can't bring him in, how can you look at yourself in the mirror and take a home run swing like that?
You can't. He's a little guy.
Yep.
So, I mean, you got to worry about that, too. So, that's not someone I'm using a lot of draft capital to trade up and get. But I thought that was interesting that they have Burrow going fifth. Can you imagine Miami if they just sitting there salivating?
Oh, yeah.
He'd never make it to five. I mean, they'd trade. Someone would trade immediately.
Yes.
With the Giants.
The best thing about this draft is that have you seen all of these articles that are coming out with leaked quotes from insiders inside of each of the teams who are completely BS that Roger Goodell is hell-bent on having the draft when it is? By the way, it's one of the few times I'm like, I'm on Team Goodell on this. I want this to happen. I understand, however, why the teams are pissed. But, you know, since Goodell said he would punish any of the executives that end up ridiculing him on this and his decision to do it, like now all of a sudden there's all these articles. You saw Schefter. Oh, man. Schefter, like, made a scene yesterday.
Yeah, play it again because I want to show people how completely out of touch that these guys are, that this is the hill he's going to die on. That with all that's going on, this is like his broadcast news moment. This is, I'm so pissed and I can't take it anymore.
Here's Adam Schefter yesterday. Yeah.
We all want that back. We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football. But OTAs, that's not happening. Yeah. The off-season program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil Franklin. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
I mean, one doesn't have to do with the other right now.
No, nothing has to do with the other. That you're saying that your biggest issue with the draft, with this coronavirus, the thing that's got you all worked up is that they're going to have a draft with people in war rooms. That's what's got you so crazy. Out of everything that's going on, that's your concern. And what do you want people to do? You think everyone's going to get mad with you? You idiot. I mean, talk about like being out of touch. Jesus, you're that wound up about them having the draft. What do you care?
No one's health is at risk doing this. And on top of that, you know, people are looking for a little bit of normalcy. And it's not just it's different if you were, you know, going to have an event where everyone was together and you could spread. There's no one being harmed by having this draft. Now, you could say there might be some things that are shady that, you know, could end up going down. Like, as we said, people who have contracts, quote unquote, that can't be signed until there's physicals end up being released by teams.
Again, no one's going to do that.
I agree. But as far as this being like unethical, like, what are you talking about right now? Well, if that's unethical, then having Adam Schefter on television is unethical right now.
Yeah,
if you think that all we need to do is the world needs to stop and we just need to stand there while, you know, we go through this crisis, then you know what? You shouldn't be on TV either. Because you're a form of entertainment just like the draft is. I don't get where his head is with any of this.
Are you concerned that there are going to be people in a war room? Like, this is the thing. While people are on Castle Island by the hundreds, you're pissed off that there's going to be 10 guys in a war room?
Right.
I mean, Jesus, give me a break. I mean, the false outrage is just moronic.
Truth be told, the NFL draft might actually encourage some people to sit inside and not group up with people.
That's a good
point.
That's actually a good point.
Decent point, Waldick. Good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Every once in a while.
I know something about the draft, but I can't tell you guys.
Did you hear the clip I came out with right after you said that? I had a nice Jason Tatum clip ready to go.
That's right. I was sworn to secrecy. Yeah, but yeah, that's complete garbage. He's. I hate when they do that. I hate when they trivialize something. Now look, I'm not flipping out about this thing. I want it to end. I want people to be responsible. But the least of my concerns is the guys in the draft. The stupid draft.
Honest to God, I am looking forward. It's 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks from tomorrow. I can't wait.
So am I. I'm looking forward to it as well. I mean, now these are some people that are cover things speculating that there's not going to be a college football season. I mean, Jesus. I mean, this has gotten crazy. So. I got to scan something. I don't know how to scan it. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This hour of touch.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Real quick, producer Dan, are you doing that on purpose to John? Just playing sound clips over him talking.
I kind of may have because he was being a prick earlier. So,
because now it's at the point where it's like one after the next, and I'm like, poor John, every time he tries to talk.
I was trying to tell him that the commercial break was ending sooner than it normally does, and I go, here we go, John, here's your sponsor, and it just jumped right over the stop. Well, I didn't insert the stop, but he was being a prick earlier about something that I tried to correct him on, and so. This is called payback, and I jumped right over the sponsor that he was supposed to say.
Do that. Anytime he tries to talk now, I have no problem with you just nailing something very loud and obnoxious on top of him. No problem at all.
While turning his mic on, too, yes.
While turning his mic on, yes, and letting him speak. By the way,
John,
Fred...
John, could you...
Oh, the sponsor.
Would you mind, John, the sponsor?
Not a problem. No, not a problem. This hour of Toucher and Rich is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit them for your 15-minute drive-through oil change. You never have to leave your car. No appointment is ever needed. Get your 15% off coupon at getanoilchange.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Is that it?
Did we get it in?
That's
it. We're good. We're all caught up.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Fred, I don't know. Have you ever been to Sullivan's Tap after like a Bruins or Celtics game? Do you ever go in there to see the notorious stall with no door? You basically see a dude taking a dump just from like while you're standing out drinking a beer. You know, there's no thing. Basically, you walk into the men's room and there's a toilet just on full display where you can walk in and just see a dude taking a dump in the middle of the floor. That's
right.
How they roll at Sullivan's. Well, they have a pop a shot machine there, which is. That's where the pros play. Like that's when you go there. There's real money exchanging hands, and so for Christmas this past year, I got one of those like tiny ones, not like the really big ones in the arcades, but you know the one that kind of folds out the old Papa Shot machine. It's like $150 or something like that, and I finally got to set it up yesterday, and I realized that I suck. Like I have. No aim whatsoever. Like, matter of fact, I was at the point where I'm looking at my score and I'm like, this has got to not be anywhere near what you're supposed to get. So in 30 seconds, the first 20 seconds, you get 2 points for every shot. And then the last 10 seconds, it turns to 3-point shots. What do you think the average score should be on a 30-second Papa Shot game?
45.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm averaging about 18.
Ooh. Yeah, like, that's not good.
I suck at Papa Shot.
I have one of those, and I haven't set it up. I got it from Milo like 2 years ago, but we have nowhere to put it.
It's awesome. Once you get it set up, I mean, it is one of those things that I've only had for one day. So I'm not talking like, I don't know if it's going to be like having, you know, when people get, you know, a stationary bike and it becomes a clothing rack after a month. I don't know if this is going to be the same thing. But I mean, I got legitimately like frustrated to the point where I'm like, there's something wrong with me that I can't get this right. And like, I think my high score was like a 24, which is because I was hitting about like 3 shots per 10 seconds, which averages out to be about 20 points on this thing, like 20, 21 points if you do 3 shots per 10 seconds. But I'm hearing like people saying you're supposed to get like 40 and in the 45s. And I honestly think there's something wrong with me. Like, I don't know if it's my eyes or my arm or I'm just that unbelievably unathletic and I can't figure this out. But I'm thinking about documenting, like, while I'm here on quarantine, every single day for my own personal edification to see if I can become that guy. Just the dude in the zone, the Larry Bird of Papa Shot, and every single day marking it down and learning from the masters online. Do you bank shot it in? Do you go straight for nothing but net? What's the proper way to do a Papa Shot? But I will. It's the most emasculating thing.
I'm amazing at Papa Shot. If I go into the arcade in Newport, I'm setting records. I've gone for 60.
What's that place called? The one over Newport?
It's something
amusements. Ryman Amusements or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get in there. I've hit 60. Don't worry about it.
60 on the Papa Shot.
60 on the Papa Shot. Set that record probably about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Came back just to check on the lady, and it was still there. Still there. The record still stands.
What's your handle? That's the 3-letter name.
No,
that
you don't put in your name. It's just the number. But the secret is you scoop left hand, shoot right hand, scoop. So while you're shooting with your right hand, you're scooping with your left hand.
Ooh, that's actually that's smart. Now, are you backboard or not?
I mean, you want to hit back, like in any basketball, you want back rim. You don't want to be offline. You want back rim. So if it does hit sometimes it'll just bank. But if you're playing, the idea is in basketball, back rim online. If you're going right or left, you might as well just shut the game down and try again.
Okay.
Because if you're offline that way, you're not doing it properly.
That might be a game changer. While you're shooting with the right hand, picking it up with the leg, scooping with the left.
You're scooping left, and it's just like a machine. You're scooping, you're shoot, scoop, shoot, scoop, shoot, scoop.
Yeah. Less aim, more scoop.
Yes, and then you'll get in a rhythm where everything starts falling. And don't be pressured when it gets to the threes. A lot of people start freaking out when it gets to the three-point part. You gotta keep calm. You gotta keep your wits about you at that point.
You see, I freak out. Like, I mean, I hear the thing go, 3-point. I'm like, all right, then you're all off.
Yeah, I'm not good at many things, but I could go to Sullivan's and I'd be like the pinball wizard. I could go in there and I think I could hold my own.
No, that's the big show, dude. Come on, you're doing better than
60.
Dude, come on, you're gonna run into like some like.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.